Grace, mercy, and God's peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something that I don't think is a surprise. We live in a very tense and uptight and fast-paced world filled with hurry and anxiety and turmoil. A Tacoma, Washington newspaper carried the story of Toto, not the dog of the movie fame, but rather a basset hound. Where are you there, Toto? There he is. He looks kind of happy, and he is generally. However, Toto didn't intend to go for an evening run one night, but when his owner shut the door's lease in the car door and took off for a drive with Toto still outside the vehicle, he had no choice. Well, motorcycle officer Terry Filbert, he noticed a passing vehicle with something dangling behind it. He commented later that the poor basset hound was picking them up and putting them down as fast as he could. Well, the policeman chased the car to a stop, and Tattoo was rescued. But not before the dog had reached a top speed of 25 miles per hour, falling down and rolling over several times. Well, I tell that because I think too many of us are living our lives just like Toto, picking them up and putting them down as fast as we can, rolling around and feeling dragged through life. Can you relate to that? Man, with what's going on around us, it sure seems like it, doesn't it? Time magazine, this is quite a while ago, it noted back in the 1960s that expert testimony given before the Senate Subcommittee on Time Management. They predicted advances in technology would radically change how many hours of a week people would work. And they forecast, keep in mind, it's back in the 60s, the average American would be working only 22 hours a week within 20 years. The great challenge, the expert said, would be figure out what to do with all the extra time. What do you think, folks? Now, over 50 years later, after major advances in technology, how many of us are wondering what to do with the excess time on our hands? Our world has become a world of the Red Queen of Alice in Wonderland fame. She said this in the story. Now here, you see, it takes all the running you can do to keep in the same place. If you want to get somewhere else, you have to run at least twice as fast as that. Boy, I wonder how many of us feel like that. Well, in case you're falling asleep, you're a little too comfy there and you're a lazy boy, I'm going to make you do a little work right now. So get ready. You don't have to get out of your chair, but you got to at least be thinking. I want to take a little group quiz to see how many of us are being dragged through life. So I want you to fill in the blanks. You can do this out loud if you're at home, if you want, or you can do it at least in your mind. So I want you to fill in the blank. Here's the questions. Number one, I'm ready to throw in the, I'm at the end of my, I'm just a bundle of, my life is falling, I'm at my wits, I feel like resigning from the human. Okay. Apparently, we're all experiencing the rat race. I could hear you. Well, not really. But I could pretend I heard you, that you knew how to fill that in, didn't you? I think we're all experiencing that rat race. You know, just when you thought you were getting ahead, along comes a faster rat. Oh. But I want you to remember that he who wins the rat race is still a rat. My friends, we need to learn how to experience rest. Now, if all we needed was physical rest, we can always take a nap. 4th of July tomorrow. Boy, I'll bet you a number of you have big plans for that. I'm not sure with the 90-degree temperature what you're going to do, but I'm sure part of that is that physical rest, right? Maybe take a nap. I know that's on my agenda. And if we need only emotional rest, we can usually take a vacation. Who knows this year? Not going very far. The AAA was saying we're going to take the least amount of miles traveled in many, many years. But nonetheless, we can do it. But where, my friends, can we find spiritual rest? How can we obtain relief regarding the deepest issues of life at the deepest level of our hearts? Because I'm convinced, the more things change, the more they stay the same. I know, nothing new. You've heard it before. You've no doubt said it. But the more things change, and boy, oh boy, we're in a world of change, they still stay the same. Well, Jesus spoke to this very issue 2,000 years ago in our text from Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. And as we read through that, perhaps you heard it. If not, I'm going to go through it again. But there are three invitations in this text from Jesus that, if you take them to heart, can give that rest that we so desperately seek. The first thing he says is, come to me. Come all, and I will give. Come to me. Now, do you notice what Jesus did not say? He didn't say, come to church to find rest. But hopefully we'll do that next week and come to church. But that's not what he's saying where you're going to find the rest. Going to McDonald's is not going to make you a hamburger, is it? Going out into the garage doesn't make you a car. And setting foot in a church doesn't make you a Christian. What's a Christian? Christian, real simple, is an individual who's connected to God through faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Gathering information about Jesus, that doesn't make you a Christian. Joining a group doesn't make you a Christian. Having Christian parents? Nope. That doesn't make you a Christian either. Jesus' invitation is a very personal relationship. He cares for you. That's right. And he wants you to be part of all that he has to offer. His offer is for all folks. Now, each of us have unique situations that need Jesus' personal hands or touch. If you're hungry, Jesus says, here's the example. He says, come on, chow down. In John 6, verse 35, he said this, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I like that. If you're thirsty, Jesus said, drink up. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his inmost being shall flow rivers of living water. If you crave eternal life, Jesus said, I'm the way that you can get there. He said, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is these that bear witness of me. And you're unwilling to come to me that you may have life. When we're connected to Jesus, notice what happens. Rest. Come to me and I will give you rest. Isn't that what he just said? How does one get that connectedness to Jesus? Well, my friends, the cross. The cross. The cross is the place of exchange where what I am, a sinner, is placed on him. And what he is, perfect, is given to me. So my bad deeds, my words, my actions are removed and placed on him. I rest on his perfect deeds, credited to my account. And when we're linked together with Jesus, we receive the rest his sacrifice made available for us. In Jesus Christ, the full penalty has already been paid. On that death-producing cross, outside of ancient Jerusalem's walls 2,000 years ago, Jesus said at the end of the ordeal, what? It is finished. Now, that meant he physically died, but even more than that, that means the payment was made. The sacrifice that Jesus was complete. It's finished. It's accomplished. So with Jesus' death, the entire reason and purpose for his coming to earth was complete. It's finished. Jesus' death accomplished what none of us as sinners could do. His death was the accepted sacrifice that paid the penalty for sin. It's finished. Jesus' death restored the separation between holy God and sinful mankind. That means that you and me, my friends, can begin life anew and have the page wiped clean. God didn't send Jesus to rub our sins in, but to rub them out. He bore the guilt and paid the penalty, and there's nothing left to pay. Come and rest in what Jesus has done for you. Well, Jesus' second invitation in our text for this day, in verse 29, says this: take my yoke upon you. The yoke, that's, you see the wooden thing on those oxen? That's a yoke. It was usually a large piece of wood that straddled the necks and shoulders of two animals. It could be oxen, it could be other cattle, it could be horses or whatever it might be. But the whole idea is that these two animals were linked together. The yoke's purpose was to connect, harness the two animals, so they could achieve much greater results. They could achieve more together than they could separately. Yokes were always made for two. You don't have a one yoke. So, my friends, Jesus is offering to be yoked, to be linked together with who? You and me. You and me. Jesus is offering himself and all of his power, all of his might, all of his wisdom, and all of his love for you and for me. And he invites each of us to take advantage of every bit of who he is for both direction and strength in our lives. You know, we weren't meant to go through life living apart from God. Not at all. And when we follow him, when we follow Jesus, we find that our load is lighter and less stressful. And that's a good thing. And then Jesus' third invitation in our text for this morning to achieve ultimate rest is learn from whom? Learn from me. Learn from me. Now, I'm not proud of this, but all of us are ignorant, only on different subjects. And when we're yoked to Jesus, we can learn an awful lot, can't we? We can learn what kind of things? Well, the things I want to learn and that he's taught us is gentleness, strength under control. That's the definition of gentleness, strength under control. It doesn't mean you're a wimp if you're gentle. It means your strength is focused, it's contained, it's controlled. Now, the world in which we live can be cold and harsh. We need only watch the news to hear that. Look around us at all the issues that are before us, social, physical, and otherwise. But not so Jesus. Now, he could easily have zapped his enemies, couldn't he? He could have flexed his godly muscle and blown the folks giving him grief away. But he didn't. He instead reached out a compassionate hand and returned kindness and love in place of anger and selfishness. So what's the invitation that you and I have? Peter, one of the apostles, he said it this way in his first letter. Give all your worries to him. Why? Because he cares about you. We can secondly learn humility from Jesus. And humility is a selflessness. It's putting some other folks ahead of ourselves. Again, our world seems to become more arrogant and rude all the time. I don't like it one bit. It seems to be getting worse. Pride and self-centeredness is the descriptive words and ideas and attitudes of the devil. And the very things that turn people off from the church are the very opposite of what Jesus is really like. So hurting and lost and weary people were drawn to Jesus because he cared for them and met their needs at their level. I don't know if you remember, but one day, one of the stories, Jesus went to, was out and about, and a man came to see a farmer who was plowing his field with a team of oxen. This isn't in Scripture, but it's a great little story. And the man noticed one of the animals was seemingly a little bigger than the other. So he asked the farmer about it. The response from the farmer was very interesting to this guy. The farmer said, well, the bigger animal, he's the older animal. Well-trained. And the smaller one was a younger guy, younger animal, that was new to the yoke. And the farmer went on to explain to the man as to why the farmer got them together. And this is what the answer he got. Well, the farmer said, you see, it's like this. That older ox is the best ox I've ever had. He knows his way around the field. And the reason I put the younger one with him is so that the older, more knowledgeable, could teach the younger one how to plow. And if I never put them together, the farmer said, the younger ox would never learn. By himself, the younger one would pull himself to death. But together, he learns to cooperate with the rest in the strength of the older ox. You see any parallels to your life, my friends? I hope so. Does your life sometimes feel like the ox who's pulling himself to death? Rest comes from obedience to Jesus' commands, my friends. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, Jesus pleads. And when we do, he promises us the rest that passes understanding. May God grant you that peace and joy and hope this week and the rest of your days. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.